As we turn off our engines for Kamen Rider Drive, let us reawaken for Kamen Rider Ghost. Cue the roll call.
We're live!
Kaigan!
Watching all the anime! Redcaster! Show Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster! Vegeta's Zeal!
Loyal and Loud! Pinkcaster! Light Red!
Explorer from the Unknown! Yellowcaster! Auto Gar!
Trauma Inducer! Northcaster! Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
Otsukare!
Welcome, one and all, to episode 75 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
Diamond Anniversary, bitches!
That is?
I'm pretty sure 75.
Yeah, Diamond Anniversary. I'm here!
It's a quarter quill.
Coconidia.
I'm actually talking.
Hooray!
Not just saying, I like it.
Welcome to the 75th annual Cast Ranger!
Games. 75th annual?
Yes.
Cast Ranger, 75 years later!
Actually, speaking of which, Deca Ranger 10 years later finally came out.
Did it?
Hooray!
Good for it.
Well, that should have been in the news!
Well, no, it's like, it's not.
It's just out. Law. Oh, okay. So yeah, 75 episodes. We're creeping ever closer to that 100 episode mark where we gotta do something special.
Oh, we're doing.
We've got lots of ideas.
We'll do a video podcast.
No, we'll live stream it.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah,
we'll film our own porno version of ourselves.
Oh god.
No, that's later in the future.
The Cast Bastards.
No, that's no. Then it's X Ranger.
The little
sure. All right, so we are here talking today about Kamen Rider Ghost, Episode 1.
Oddly,
wait, Shinosuke died?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Oddly, odd timing on that, though, eh? 75th episode, first episode of Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, what a coincidence.
What a coincidence?
Coincidence?
Who cares? I'm talking.
We know.
Fair?
Trust me, we know.
So, if you guys aren't aware of Kamen Rider Ghost, he's a ghost-themed rider, and he uses the abilities of dead historical figures.
He fights evil with the power of history.
I'm sorry, Lane, was that a Kamen Rider analogy done by Jeff Goldblum? He uses a ghost, but... And,
Chaos Theory right there.
Anyways.
That's Chaos Theory.
We're also talking about Ninja episode 32.
Oh, yeah, I got fuck it.
Not a bad episode this week.
No.
So,
but anyways...
Ghost?
For Ghost, let's go! Kara, go, Ghosto! Go!
Go for it!
Okay, so, Ghost debut. I've watched it a bunch of times.
I watched it once.
I've watched the Raw once and the sub, like, four times.
I watched it Raw, then I watched it with Protection.
Like, I literally watched it, like, a few hours before this.
Protection by way of subtitles.
Oh.
Protection from not knowing what they were saying.
So, where should we start with episode one of Ghost?
Well,
let's at the beginning.
Yeah, but... Alright, actually, we jump right into the episode with...
Death!
Yeah, death.
Literally, eight minutes in, first rider
no,
death.
Not even that.
No, I'm sorry, can we talk about this for
not
a second?
Not a rider yet.
Still counts.
Can we talk about this for a second? Okay, so we actually see some of the ghosts, and they're just doing some what I like to call ghostly mischief, where... If you remember, the gimmick of this whole thing is that you can't see the ghost unless you have an icon.
Which I think was great to point out last episode, because, like, there's obviously going to be some people watching Ghost for the first time who haven't seen Drive, and they wouldn't know about that.
Fair.
So it's going to be a mystery to people watching who haven't watched Drive about the fact that you need an icon to see the ghost, whereas people like us who have watched Drive have that little tidbit of extra information.
Wait, so the ghosts are the Shadow Line and Rainbow Line? You can't really see them unless you really believe in it?
Not at all.
No, because as we saw, Onari heavily believes in ghosts, but he couldn't see them.
Although, now that you mention that, that would explain that scene where Greta was walking through the town and no one gives a fuck. Maybe no one just no one saw her?
Let's not start giving credence to Tokuger.
Fair.
Anyway, my whole thing was, So yeah, the ghosts are doing what I call ghostly mischief. They're just using, like, their invisibility to, like, trick people, like, to trip them over, to cause, you know, some light damages. But, like, overall, it felt like an episode, it could have been just a, you know, a more intense episode of Casper.
Yeah.
But then, out of nowhere,
they just get way more serious and start destroying things and killing people.
Like, there's one point where just, you know, you've seen it, but I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. Where, you know those, like, you know, those ship rides? Like, they use the momentum to go back and forth?
If you go to Wonderland, it's called the Rage.
Yeah. The fucking ghost breaks, like, he grabs it and throws it. And at first we're like, okay, it's just gonna go and just disappear into the distance. No!
It slams into a fucking tower and explodes!
Just
everyone dead!
And you're just like, Jesus! Oh, that was a theme park ride! That was full of children!
No, and this must be starting a new tradition or something, because, you know, in Drive, people got killed by a giant bowling pin!
You know what
so now it's a giant ship ride into a tower.
You know, nothing makes me remember my days of Toku fondly than death! First episode, but I'm calling. But I have a prediction for, like, near the end.
Uh-huh.
The main villain, he's gonna if this becomes a thing of just random deaths throughout the series, villain's gonna be lording over Ghost and Spectre and whatever. He's gonna strike the final blow. All of the ghosts of the people he has killed come and converge on him. Calling it now. We won't know for about a year.
What? You watch, like, his, like, base form is Ore, which is just me, but watch his final form be Mina, which would be awesome because his belt says Mina a lot already.
You know, I swear to fuck if at the end of this thing he starts saying, we are Legion for we are many, I'm gonna put my fucking foot through the TV.
Well, Ghost does seem to have a strong historical theme to it.
There's one scene I want to bring up quickly before we move on, and it's basically, our main writer is Takaru, right?
Tenkuji Takaru.
Alright, basically, Takaru's having a dream about the death of his dad, in which, for all of you that don't know, his dad is Yellow Lion, so
We did talk about that.
It's canon. Brain Army Volt killed Yellow Lion. None of you
have
seen
that,
so you guys don't get it.
It'd be funny if that show aired 10 years ago.
It aired in 1988.
I know.
What was
the year I was born?
What was the priest's name?
Onari.
Okay, yeah. I will refer to him from here henceforth. Might have just been the suburbs. I don't care. Literally, first thing I ever heard out of him was, UNACCEPTABLE! I will refer to him as Lemon Grab from here on in.
No.
And I was right. I'm going to love the shit out of this character.
Yeah, no,
high five, Lane.
Yeah, Onari's fucking amazing.
Is it me, or is the priest look very familiar? Like,
well, look up his actor then.
Wow. Wow, man, you said a Japanese guy looks familiar? Gotta go racist.
No, the priest looks very familiar, or he's giving off a weird, like, Tokachi vibe.
Hey, he looks like Edamon.
I actually just love hearing him talk. It's almost like seeing Ryunosuke from Shinkenger again.
And then we have Takaru, who is a
slacker. No, okay.
Ryunosuke from Shinkenger, who also served a master named Takaru. I've connected the dots!
Okay, now let's talk about the other friend that he has.
Yeah, well, let's talk about
Oh my god.
Okay, the female, like, basically the female character of the series. She's been friends with Takaru since childhood, she's a bit older.
Her name is Sukimura Akari.
She is what gives what I like to call the exposition dump, or in this case, the exposition diarrhea.
Jesus Christ.
But what I like about her is that
she really knows how to dance?
No, she doesn't believe in ghosts.
And yet she hangs out in a shrine with a ghost hunter family.
Ah, there's Onari with hair!
Onari's actor with hair.
I wonder if he's shaving or if that's just a bald cap.
It's probably just a bald cap.
We'll know if we see any behind the scenes bits.
One cool thing.
This is his first role.
Oh, okay.
Like, in the first episode,
Giggity. Sorry, go ahead.
Wait, giggity?
It was a joke because the show has lots of death.
Anyways.
But do you know what giggity means?
Yes. The joke was how inappropriate that was.
Okay.
Moving on.
sorry, Gar, go ahead.
Basically, one thing I really enjoy is that, like, a few minutes into the first episode, there's a little, like, block that says a tip about, like, the ancient historic... Like,
oh, yeah,
the historical character.
When Takaru is talking about Musashi, and I expect there will be lots of this,
Because it comes off that he's his hero, right?
Yeah. Which is fine. But,
which
like,
is fine. You could have way worse heroes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
There's... Jesus Damashi.
I'm calling it now. Final form. Ole Messiah.
No.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So apparently Onari isn't just one of the allies. Apparently he's actually Takaru's legal guardian.
Well, yeah, with his dad dead.
Yeah.
He doesn't look that much older than him, though.
Well he's
legal
probably
guardian. It doesn't matter about age.
No, actually, in the episode, he does say, like he trained underneath his father.
Yeah. But yeah, what I was saying is... So yeah, there's this little blurb while Takeru's talking about Miyamoto Musashi, and you just know they're going to do that for every single one they talk about.
Oh, I fucking hope so.
Which I
Why do you hope so?
Here's a bunch of... Here's this power set based on this guy that most of these kids have never heard of. No grounds for explanation within the show.
Wait, that's actually a good point.
Actually, yeah, now that I think about it, that's probably a good idea.
I got it.
I mean, it makes the show kind of preachy and educational, but I guess... It fits within the context.
Well, if you really think about it, it's like the first Doctor in Doctor Who. It wasn't meant to be a sci-fi show. It meant to be, like, a history show.
Yeah.
So, basically, it's like that, but, you know, with fucking action and death. Speaking of which...
Like Doctor Who.
Yep. Yeah. Takaru gets a package from his dad, which... 10 years ago, and it's
that's a shitty postal service.
I was about to say, too, though, well, it could have been like a Back to the Future type thing where he was asked to wait 10 years. You don't want to give him to it as a kid.
It was posted.
I said give him to it at him to
English M hard.
But then we found out apparently the series takes place in 2014.
If the stamp is to be believed.
Well, because it says it was 10 years old, and the stamp's year was 2004.
If we saw that, right? And if the stamps be believed, I don't know.
It's probably 2005, because he would be 18 then.
But it said 04.
Well, it could have been 11 years. We don't know.
They said 10!
Yeah, he said died 10 years ago.
It did say 10 years.
Whatever.
Anyways, whatever.
2015.
Well, technically, if his dad died 10 years ago, he would have had to have sent the package before then, so maybe he sent it a year before he died.
Thank you.
Sounds
plausible. Anyways, moving on.
And then the Ganma. The Ganma show up. In which I like to call them Blade Ganma and Other Ganma.
I like to call them Hoodie Ninjas, Hoodie Ninjas.
Can we just call them Nappas?
Why?
Because they're just easily killed off every episode.
No, that's Raditz.
Fine, we'll call them Radises.
No.
So Raditz 1, kill Takaru.
No. Those were the Hoodie Ninjas didn't. Yeah, it was the two actual evolved ghosts. Which, if you pay attention, we actually see how they get created at the start of the episode, and by the way of how they get destroyed.
Yeah,
apparently, they take the regular hoodie rank Ganma and like power them up with a historical figure's item, I guess. Because
I'm familiar.
Because the one guy had the katana and. I found out that the guy with the sword is actually based on the character is referred to as Handsome Warrior Setsuna because I found that out because he's in Kamen Rider Storm Heroes as a playable unit. I don't know who the guy with the spear is though, but yeah. So Setsuna manages to kill Takaru 8 minutes into the episode.
You know, I was just like,
and thank God, because without that, we wouldn't have a plot. I found it really funny, though, that, like, he was funny. He's like, I can see them, which must mean I can defeat them! And I'm like...
No. He said, if I can see them, I can fight.
Yeah, I'm just like...
I can fight!
I'm like, good luck. Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
And then the show puts forth the best message ever that Sel and I were talking about.
Oh my God, this was just, like, this is the most Japanese thing I've ever heard. What was it, like, the exact line?
So, yeah, like, as he's fighting them, he was like, if I can see them, I can fight. I'll believe in myself. And then he gets murdered and goes into, like, this weird spirit waterfall. And as, like, the sage is explaining to him how he fucked up, he's like, you know, you're right. What the fuck was I thinking believing in myself? I should have trained more. Whoa!
Like, wow, they're just drilling it into the kids now, aren't they?
Way to, like, discredit every other superhero show ever.
I'm just like, oh my fuck. Like, that is literally the exact opposite of what... If Masked Rider was still a thing, that would literally be the exact opposite message they would teach in the Masked Rider Ghost.
Yeah, they would have been. They would have just been like, "Well, you died because you didn't believe in yourself hard enough."
You gotta believe.
No,
sorry.
Just the one thing that somewhat bugged me is that when the blade gauntlet slashed him, it was meant to like kill him. He was still fucking breathing for like a few minutes, which is bullshit.
It was a fatal wound. It wouldn't have killed him right away.
I'm sorry. Wait, time out, Gar. Are you under the impression that bleeding out takes a quick time? Like, is quick?
Oh, if it was me...
He died not from the wound, but from the bleed out.
Like, if it was me, I would have made it, like, slash, no music, died. Not having that little bit, like...
But then we wouldn't have gotten that sad scene as he was dying.
Gar, you
what
say
sad
you want...
scene? It's more or less like, I can't die yet. Fuck, I'm dead.
Gar, you do realize they do have to fill 24 minutes, right?
Yeah, and they could have filled in with, you know, something else.
It's okay, Gar,
like
anyways.
Like an ending.
If you don't enjoy it, I will cover it with belly dancing!
Okay, Austin.
No, that was a reference to a stand-up comedian.
I am everyone and no one.
Wait, were you doing Omnid Jolly right there?
I couldn't remember his name, so probably.
Fat Middle Eastern guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
He's great.
So, yes... we meet Sendin, who is translated as Sage in the Overtime Cups.
I'm calling him Sage.
His name is Sendin!
And I'm just...
Nice.
And I know
what that
and
means.
And
yeah.
I know that's just the translation, but from now on, I'm just... go review a bad anime.
No, one joke... I watched the TV Nihon subs. I don't know about Overtime. But when Takaru met him, he's like, "Who are you?" "I am everyone and no one."
And no, the funny thing was...
It's just...
When I was like, "God?" To which Takaru I answered with, "God?"
Yeah, it's like, "God?" And he's like, "Oh,
no,
I'm not that famous.
Nothing that grandiose. Don't go spreading that rumor again."
And then
I like to imagine there's a backstory.
I like to imagine, though, like, in this universe, a Sage knows God on a personal level.
Yeah, he's like God's wingman.
No, I was saying this because he's, like, talking to him and telling him, like, "Oh, like, you know, you're dead, You can be restored back to life, but you have to collect the 15 icons and like whatever."
Ooh,
and he's like, "Okay." No, and he's like, "Okay." So then he like spuns the belt onto him.
Just cause.
No, the best part was whatever he said as he was putting the belt on him. Apparently, it wasn't translatable.
Got a question, and maybe I just missed this. Is there a reason why Sage gives him the power?
Okay.
Because he has the icon.
Actually,
is that the only reason?
That's the only reason I can fathom.
No, but Ichi was...
Because, like, he only says it after the icon transforms into the Ori icon.
You're actually right. There is no actual reason for him to
okay.
be...
Okay,
I just said it!
Ichi jokingly said, he's like, "Oh, you must know, like, about..." Or, because he's, like, saying, like, "You must become Kamen Rider Ghost and to, like, fight or whatever." And Ichi's like, "Oh, it's too funny."
He said
like,
Kamen Rider.
He said Kamen Rider, so you must know Kamen Rider. And I'm like... What if that's Ishinomori?
No,
what if that's just the spirit of Ishinomori?
That guy becomes the Ishinomori icon.
Okay, two things. One, I don't like how they somewhat shoehorned in the name Kamen Rider. They could have just said, "You must become Ghost and fight."
Yeah, which would have made sense.
I like the drive, like in Drive of the Day, because the Roid Mutants like fought Proto Drive, and they were like, "Oh, you're a Kamen Rider."
Here's the thing. The reason they didn't do that is because they've been frequently using the actual word ghost to describe the actual ghost, so it wouldn't have made sense. You must become ghost. But I'm already a ghost.
And two, what Lane said, he must collect...
the souls of 15 heroes.
Yeah, but think about this. He said you can only... Not saying that there's only 15. He's just saying...
You have to collect 15.
Yeah, you have to collect 15, not saying that there's only 15.
And
so there could be more.
And judging by the fact that the Musashi one came about from a object that had something to do with Musashi...
Which means just...
Definitely more.
Just like the Ganma have been using items of heroes...
He can use the items of the heroes to create the icon.
Here's my question. And this is more brought up by the fact of, like, the Santa one, which I understand is more of a gimmick, like, haha... But Robin Hood is going to be one of the icons.
Yes.
Right? Okay, here's the thing. Robin Hood is a character.
That we know of. He could have been real.
There might have been actual Robin
Hood. That's what I mean. Are they going to just go with he was real, or are they going to actually say, like,
the idea? It depends on what item they use
Are they just going to go with the Fates Day Night route and just flat out be like, "Yeah, no, this guy's a fictional character, but he exists because magic."
I can buy that.
It depends what item they use to spawn the icon.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be a bow.
Yeah.
But then we get the typical Kamen Rider thing. Or an arrowhead. Which, last time I saw this, it was in Tokyuger, where it was like, alright, I'm going to fight you guys. I'm going to transform.
How the fuck do I do anything?
And then we get Orange Ghost thing.
No, no, it was Tetsu. Really cute where he's like, alright, I'm going to do this. Holds the lever to the belt.
The fuck do I do?
What do I do?
And then Yurusen, Yurusen.
Oh, yeah, Yurusen, that
God,
thing.
I already hate it. I already hated it last week, and I'm going to hate it all show.
I hate it. I hate it a fair amount less knowing who
what I really like is
now.
When he put
I
the
know,
when
I still
he,
don't
yeah,
care.
When he summons the Ore Parka ghost, like you, I was like, oh right, so this is supposed to be like his soul. So I love that even like
I
the Parka ghost is going like, oh my god, what
can
the
I
fuck
just,
do I do?
Can I just call that?
Well, it was either going to be him or his father.
Raven, I was going to say quickly, though.
It's remember that conversation where you were where we were talking about that, and I said, or it could be his soul stuck in there, you know,
well, that
like
was,
Madoka.
Yeah, well, that was like,
gems.
That was the obvious choice. That's what everyone assumed,
yeah.
But we weren't guaranteeing it as a possibility. But yes, now we know for sure that is his soul.
Sorry, going back a minute. Yeah, of course you give Yinsen or whatever the fuck its name is his pass because of the voice actor. What is it called? Yinsen?
Yurusen.
Yurusen.
Which...
It's fucking, if you don't remember, it's fucking Madoka.
Yep.
One thing I really don't, like, it's not annoying to me.
I'm actually finding it's not as annoying as I thought it was going to be.
It's less annoying than the Drive episode, but it's still pretty annoying.
But you know what, maybe I just have the bad taste that is Ticket in my mouth.
No, guys, I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this, at least it's not Belt Song.
Hey,
what?
Fuck you.
I'm sorry. Throughout the show, Belt Song got really tiring and
annoying.
No! I am flipping two birds at Gar right
Gar,
now.
Gar, do you enjoy just being
hearing
the
person
him who says shit?
No, I'm serious. Like half, in some episodes, Krim just like, monotone.
Yeah, that was
you
the sexiest voice writer's ever had.
Wait, you mean the robot had a voice that sounded like it was coming through a processor?
No. Just sometimes Belt...
You're entitled to that opinion. Just, I don't know.
You're just...
Dude, I felt for Krim the entire show!
Or just like... I'm just happy that we have a new voice. Something hyperactive. Something that's more female than guy.
Well, it is a female.
Because think about... Like... O's, we got Ankh. Wizard, we didn't really get anything. Guy,
we had Koyumi.
Ooh. I miss Saba.
Summoning the Tagazol.
But yeah, I loved Krim. Hearing him say anything was always a delight.
Exactly.
Well, his catchphrases, I don't mind.
Good luck.
Anyway, back to the episode.
So yeah, Oridamashi shows up and...
Just is like freaking out, going like, I don't know what to do!
I love how he just like flies around being an asshole.
No, and then freaking Takaru just proceeds to like fall forward and like being scared.
I'm
and then
sorry.
The Oridamashi...
No, wait. Yeah, like, he fucking goes on the ground and fucking presents, like, his ass is stuck up in
and
the...
And then the Parker ghost is like...
Sorry. It reminded me of that scene in Rick and Morty, that episode where Beth and Jerry go to that planet of wedding counselors.
Yeah.
Marriage counselors, sorry.
God.
And the fucking worm Jerry.
Yeah.
Just...
Oh, my God.
But yeah,
like, stop doing that with your ass!
And then the Ori Parker ghost is just like, whatever, my chance to transform.
You know, if Chuck were a bigger part of this, or a part of this at all, sorry, that's where he would be going, swiggity swoogity, come get that boot, getting that butt.
But yeah, it's really hilarious and confusing at the same time to see Takaru standing there while a projection of his soul as a jacket is flying around, not knowing what the fuck it is.
Also, can I really say, I love the transient form.
Oh yeah,
like,
it's nice.
It's probably almost up there with Deno Platinum.
It looks like
an awesome bass form.
It looks like something out of like the Tron Legacy movie.
Yeah, that
may have been what they were going for, considering
like,
it glows.
It's like Riot Trooper mixed with Tron suit. No, here's the one thing that's somewhat that I question. How did he know he was going to get a sword from the belt?
It's rider logic. Put on the belt and you get the knowledge.
Yeah.
Except
but
he obviously didn't.
Yeah, he just...
Because he had no clue what everything else
swords.
Was.
It's like...
And then just suddenly, sword.
Yeah, I feel like Yosend could have said something.
Just hold your hand to the thing.
No, it would have made more sense. No, it would have made more sense if it came out of the belt. He's like, what is it? Grabs it. He pulls out, then it's a sword. He's like, Oh, sweet. Yeah.
No.
That would have been cool.
And then Yursen says something, and I can't believe, like, I didn't realize this sooner, but he's like, or, like, Taku's like, wait, so if I'm already a ghost, does that mean I can't die in Yursen's exactly? And I'm like, so are you saying, so does this mean Ghost is, like, the most invincible rider of all time because he cannot die because he's already dead?
You know, I gotta admit, and I'm hoping they kind of, like, explain this better in the future, I don't like that aspect.
I think it's a nice change of pace.
Die. No, because, okay, no, here's the thing, though.
It lowers the stakes.
It lowers the stakes exponentially.
I understand perfectly. But the trade-off with that is, if he doesn't fight the gum and get all those icons, he dies in 98 days.
No, but that's not the point, though. Like, sorry, Gar, give me a second. It doesn't matter that he's on a time limit, which, and don't get me wrong, that's an interesting idea that he's got a time limit. Why it's such an arbitrary number, who knows?
I'm sure there'll be a plot reason.
Anyway, no, can I finish first?
Please? I was just going to say 99 divided by 2 is 45 episodes.
Okay, we get it. Yeah. So what, he's got to get, like, how many? Okay.
That's, like, number of series.
Okay, fair enough.
Can you sell?
Anyway, so yeah, I'm just hoping eventually, like, for the first couple episodes, it'll be fine. But I'm hoping eventually, like, the, what do they call the Ganma? Yeah.
Ganma.
The Ganma.
You're too involved in Gamera.
You're in too deep, Cell! The Ganma.
I did it again.
The Ganma. Bad ones.
Ganma.
The ghost.
The bad ghosts. I'm hoping eventually there'll be a thing where, like, they're going to use, like, I don't know, proton accelerators or something to destroy ghosts.
No, they're going to get a vacuum cleaner and they're going to suck them up.
Get EGAD in on this.
But getting a bit seriously involving Taku, like seeing him fight and stuff, he's kind of being like, you know, a bit like childish, and he's like, ha ha, look, I'm floating, whoa, this is fun, oh my gosh. I'm like, okay, you know what, by the end of this show, he's going to be well developed and really mature.
Yeah, that
like,
I really feel. And I gotta admit, if I had powers like that, I would just be like that. Although that was the point where we were just going, you can fly, you can fly,
you can fly, you can fly, you can fly.
You know what I think of that? It's going to be like Forza's jetpack. They're going to, like, not use it every single
probably
time.
Not, just because, you know, who wants to buy that many wires?
Because really think about it, it's going to be like, woo, woo, 5 episodes later, like, just forget about it.
Oh, I loved every time Forza used his jump pack, it was so
cool. Or it's like when Theo learned how to use the swoop technique in Jungle Fury.
Yeah.
And then never used it again.
That was pretty swoon.
But yeah, Ghost kills bad Ghost number one.
The trident, dude.
Well, okay, the Rider kick was actually interesting, because I like that, because, especially with the toy, it shows that, like, he does the Hisatsu, so I like that, like, you can pull out the handle, the lever, but it stays there, and then you have to, like, manually
that's
put it
like
back in.
Standby charge.
Yeah, and then like he does like this cool kind of like incantation, like hand gesture thingy to activate,
seal.
Like to, you know, I guess like harness his power.
Yeah.
Into it.
It's like a hand seal.
And so I'm like thinking to myself, like, oh, for fuck's sake! Now that means like I have to do that, memorize that hand gesture if I want to like role play doing his final attack.
Okay, it's not exactly hard.
But David was kind of like saying like at first like, oh yeah, this is like his Rider Kick Super. And I'm like, okay. Well, first off, the enemy was running towards him, so he had to quickly just go, kick him as a quick
reflex. I love
how you
did that knowing no one's going to see
you
doing
it. No. Whatever. I actually did like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a traditional jump up in the air, pose, then kick. It was more or less shit.
Yeah, instead of like flying at the enemy was running at him, and he just jumped in place and let the enemy run into his foot. I thought that was creative.
It's like one of my favorite Rider kicks from Kuga ever was Decade Kuga, when literally he charged up the Rider kick, ran up to the fucking guy, and just kicked him close point blank.
You did it again.
I know, I don't care. I like role playing it.
Anyways, he defeats Ghost 1, then Bad Ghost 2. He's like, follow me and fight me. And for some odd reason, it's never questioned, Takeru has a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just happens.
Fucking, he's a rider. He has
apparently part of living at the shrine involves having a fucking motorcycle.
Hell, even in X, they explained where he got it.
Yeah.
And yes, I will bring everything back to X, because X is the best thing ever.
No,
which also involved a dead father.
Oh.
Which, one thing that was really odd, though, is that, like, he transforms on the motorcycle, and then his motorcycle transforms as well.
Into the Ghost Striker.
But
into a fucking... No,
he
into
doesn't...
Sorry. Into a fucking Thestral from Harry Potter.
I don't know.
But one thing, though. Again, it's never questioned.
I'm sure they'll mention
it
at some point.
He doesn't even question it. It's like...
In for a penny.
Yeah.
Now, the most important thing about this episode that we know is that Toei really upped their budget this year because... Say goodbye to plastic furniture, hello wooden furniture!
We got the pull-away ones that actually fall into two pieces.
Yeah,
and simulate
to look like
effects.
Someone hacked through it, yeah. But no, like I saw in... I actually like that they changed the location to like kind of like a dock.
Hey, Sal?
Sorry, what?
You might agree with me with this. The camera movement when it was like underneath the motorcycle.
Yeah.
That was pretty neat to see.
No, yeah, like, I like that they're going for, like, I always like in shows like these when they try to do more elaborate shots, like, a little out of the box. So it's always just cool to see that sort of thing.
But for some odd reason, they went from boat docks to beach.
Welcome to scene transitions.
Although I just loved how, like, no, because the editing was so, like, just, like, it made it look like, yes, granted, they were near the ocean, but the way he kicked, it made it look like he was kicking him 5 feet. Suddenly we're on a beach.
Yeah, but literally, you don't see the boat docks anywhere.
Hey, at least the two locations have some relevance. It's not like kicking from a forest into a warehouse.
And I'm very upset because both Henshins, like, when he transformed the first time, he did have his hood up, but then he just instantly pulled it off. And I was like, why?
No,
Link, because... sorry, what's the word I'm looking for?
Toy sales?
No, not that.
I don't know.
Because sense.
No. One thing,
you can't fight with a hood on.
No, he didn't actually...
I'd like to point out that all of Ghost's other forms have the hood on and stuck there.
No, he didn't actually take it off. It was more or less, it came onto him. He looked up and then it went down.
See, yeah, no, you actually see his hand brush it down.
Now, I've always said this. I do like hoods. I think they look cool. But I hate it when the hood just is always on for no goddamn reason. Which is a reason why I love Black Flag of the Assassin's Creed thing so much. When he's just, at the very first time, when Edward puts his hood on, he's like, fuck this shit, it's too hot, and he takes it off.
Yeah.
Look, that's in the game.
Like, I have an image of that Ghost with his hood up for my lock screen on my phone, which, it looks goofy, I'll be honest.
I like it with the hood on, hood off.
Makes it more mysterious.
But I like the idea that it's not always on.
But then, the second time he transformed, like, I saw him transform while he was on his bike, whatever, and I'm like, oh, fuck, hood off again, too. And then someone was like, oh, no, the hood quickly brushed off because he's, like, you know, in motion.
See,
and I was like,
that,
And that's what I said.
That's what I would assume.
I can't remember who said
it. It was me. Whatever.
It's both of us.
Yeah, that's what I assumed would be the explanation, but I took a close look at that shot. It did appear already down. It didn't blow off.
Okay.
But yeah, I wanted to say that, yeah, we got a bike hitch in first episode. That's awesome.
I'm so glad I'm never going to get tired of Ghost's Ore Chime.
So,
yeah, me either.
It's fucking great.
Speaking of which, we've talked about his base form, Ore. What do you guys think of
Musashi Demachi?
Musashi, yeah.
I will say this.
I fucking love it.
Of course you do.
You know, go ahead, Gar, first.
All right, when it first showed up in the magazine scans, it was my least favorite form. Now that I actually see it in battle,
it's really cool.
It is kind of cool.
I'm going to start really loving these forms. I agree, like the idea that the samurai hilt is its top knot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little silly, but then I'm like, it's fucking Kamen Rider. And I think it works really well.
No, I never
even noticed it till the episode.
You know what would have been great? If, like,
just, he pulled it out and it was a sword.
I was gonna say, like, maybe down the line he, like, loses both his swords. Oh, wow.
Would not surprise me.
Especially wouldn't surprise me. Miyamoto Musashi was well known for using whatever the fuck he had available.
There you go.
Oh,
you never know.
That could happen.
So, that is entirely possible.
Okay, I'm sorry. And that, I'm just picturing now, though, there's a point where, let's say, like, Spectre has, like, a King Arthur mode. Right?
Okay.
And like, we're out of weapons, and Spectre just, in Arthur mode, pulls the
sword out of his
head.
I want it!
You are king!
On that note, historically, the reason Miyamoto Musashi wielded two swords is because, well, every samurai kind of has that second one there anyway, so why the fuck is no one else using
it? Yeah!
Historically, that's his reason!
Like, before he gets the Musashi icon, his necklace starts to glow, and Orange Ghost Thing says, like, draw an eye on it. So, is this, like, a Nintendo DS game, where it's, like, the only way to do the jutsu is that you have to, like, draw it out?
And I'm talking to the prop guys of Ghost. You guys can call that an eye all you want.
That's not an eye.
That's a vagina.
Oh, damn it, it is.
it starts glowing red and like, oh my god.
No, I can say...
Chlamydia,
that,
yo.
I can say I've gotten a lot more tolerable to Musashi's form. It does look cool because it kicks fucking ass.
That's for sure.
I still don't like it. So there.
Before the end of the episode...
You can go fuck yourself.
Before we end the episode, there's actually two of the villains in which, guys, you didn't know, but I went to Japan and filmed those shots.
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah, there's that thing... Oh. Yeah, we're just gonna ignore him for a minute. At the very end, there were the two villains.
And one of the one creepy dude who summoned them at the start.
The guy in all black apparently just walked off the set of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, he looked like the fucking
Nazi.
No, Fedora Nazi. You know what? And I hate being the one to say this. You know who he looks like?
Bishop from Kiva?
No, he looks like fucking Narutaki from Decade.
No, he's
Narutaki in black. I got a little vibe from that.
Clothes-wise?
It's the same fucking outfit.
Yes. Outfit-wise, absolutely. Facial-wise, he's like Bishop, but 20 years older.
Oh, you know what I wanted
outfit,
to bring
up? Outfit, exact same.
You know what I wanted to bring up earlier? I forgot about it, but it's just, I thought it was so hilarious. During the ghost mischief thing, there's that point where they cut the car in half.
Yeah.
Right? And just funny enough that we just discovered Gamera again, because in one of the Gamera movies, Gauss, who will show up in the new Gamera movie, they have these, like, lasers that can cut shit right in, like that, and they do that to a car like that.
Okay.
Just pulls apart like that.
Maybe that was
I almost wonder if that's a reference to that.
Maybe.
I like to think that the black hat guy with, like, the weird teeth or whatever, because he'll, like, kidnap Akari or whatever, and then she'll escape, and then again, he just sees Akari will just run into him. We meet again, Fräulein.
I want this guy to speak with a German accent in Japanese.
Sage fucking in the sky, has a giant head.
Yeah, with his plot shield.
You must fight his ghost. Have Musashi on your side.
It was another X reference.
Yes.
Dead father in the sky.
That's not his dad.
Well, I know. I was talking about.
Okay,
X.
Whoa, the fucking tracker on the audio car looks like Ghost's head there.
I see it.
Right there in the middle.
I see it.
Center.
Oh,
look
I
at
see
that.
It.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Whoa.
Anyway,
fuck.
One thing else I kind of want to say. I love Sage. He is so cool.
But before we move on to talking about Sage at the end of the episode, the other villain who showed up, who basically looks like fucking Evil Philip.
Evil Philip.
See, you said that, and for a second I thought, wait, is that the actor?
No, it's
not. Which said he would
have been cool.
That would have been cool. I don't think it's him.
No. He says he's too old to be in.
He's got a fucking... I'm like, he's got a feather earring. I'm like, what the hell, man? Are you playing bass for Foreigner? What is this?
It's Sikh possessed by a demon. One thing I want to bring up, though, is that his friend... Like, we cut back to Takaru's friends, like the priest and the girl. They still can't see him.
Which makes sense.
Apparently, since he's a ghost, he can only be seen when he's in a calm emotional state.
Which
is bullshit, but
yeah. No, you want to know what's bullshit?
No, did they actually say calm? The way I read it, they just said it depends on your emotional state. They didn't specify what emotion. And as far as I'm concerned, it seems to be when he's annoyed with fucking Urasen.
Yeah, because he got pissed off and then all
every
of a sudden,
time it shoves him, he shows up.
No, I like to think that was him trying to, doing something that made him tangible.
Every time it happened, Urasen literally gave him... No, Urasen gave him a literal push.
Yeah.
And he showed up.
Yeah. You want to know what I thought was bullshit, though? We all thought this was bullshit. Okay, so he takes off his shoes to go into the house, and they become real?
Yeah, no!
What's the logic here? Does he take off...
Do the shoes become corporeal?
That's what I mean. Like, is that actually going to be a thing where, like, what if he takes off the rest of his clothes? Does that work? Like, what's the deal? What are the rules?
What's real anymore?
Oh, God, I think it's fountain rules. Oh.
I'm invisible and naked.
he's the invisible boy from Mystery Men.
I also really like what we're going to call the ghost pits.
I mean, it really looks like they just reused the set from Drives.
I love how they've got
his father's research lab, apparently.
This lab in a temple.
We're just going to call it the Ghost Pit.
Until it gets a name, and probably long after.
Yeah.
But, so then Sage...
I'm calling it the firehouse, actually.
Sage shows up in, kind of like a delivery man's uniform.
Wait, I'm sorry, though. You don't get that?
No.
Does anyone not get...
What?
Watch fucking movies!
No.
Yeah, I'm going to call it the Firehouse.
Oh, my.
I get it. I only watch Ghostbusters a month or so ago. Yeah.
It's the Firehouse. Come on.
Can we actually call it that?
I'm calling it the Ghost Pit.
Oh, can we have one of the priests come in and say, like, shut it down. Shut all this down.
No, Akari will do that.
That's what she's basically doing.
Yeah.
God.
No,
why are they friends?
Is it true? Yes, this is true. This woman has no dick.
I hope so. Can I just
bring Ichi. Up... Wait, sorry. Gar, 1 second, sorry. Ichi, why does he like her?
He doesn't even seem interested in that.
Doesn't mean he doesn't want to.
They have nothing in common.
Anyways, you were saying, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
What I really want in this series, Takaru segment, and then priest and chick segment. Because they can't always, like, if they make it so that they can always see him, it's going to be, like, a generic Kamen Rider series. But if it's both of them together and then Takaru segment, it would actually be pretty neat.
Yeah, see, when it comes to Lemon Grab, I understand he's the he's the comic relief, and I'm okay with that. But I almost want him to sort of defect to a Uncle from Jackie Chan Adventures because he's the one who actually knows this ghost shit.
Takaru! Icon is not important!
He's gonna get, like, a blowfish and use it to, like, banish ghosts. Come on!
Yeah. I like how these two side characters, Shibuya and Narita, are basically like Seigi and Miura from Denno.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Like, can we have the Balkan Skull Fiend in?
Yeah.
But, I think overall, I'm looking forward to this. This looks fun.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Until Spectre shows up.
Hey, I'm psyched for Spectre.
It's also great because we end with an
I can't.
Then we end up in a plot twist where it's like, you only had 99 days to get all the...
Well, technically you have 98 now.
Oh, we gotta talk about Sage a little, actually.
Yeah, he's such an asshole, and actually, I love it.
Before any of you guys say it, it's like, he says he only has 99 days to actually make the wish. Well, technically 98, since he has wasted the first day.
Which is just, I love that.
I wouldn't call that a waste. He has the first icon.
No, yeah, he's up one.
Yeah.
And according to the preview, he has Edison, so that's
two. Yeah, no, that's actually the funny thing, too.
Yeah,
it's just like,
he seems to be moving at a fair pace.
I love that type of joke, though, where it's just like, you have 99 days. 98, sorry.
Just like looks at his wrist, and 98.
It's just like that Simpsons episode where, Mr. Simpson, you have 24 hours to live. Oh my god! Sorry, make that 21. Sorry we kept you here so long.
You have two minutes to move your cube.
No, it's like the Ninja episode where they get Surfer Maru. Now we fight! Kenji, you have to leave. But I still got a day! This is Japan time. Fuck!
speaking of that, though, that was cool, though, the new superhero time. Just to see, like, them all fucking around in the firehouse. Where
yeah,
like,
and Takaru, while intangible, is trying to stop them to no avail.
Which, I'm just like, wait, are they gonna fight now? Because yokai are basically ghosts.
No, it's gonna be ghosts versus the next Sentai.
Who knows?
That'd be an interesting
crossover.
Can we talk about Ninja now?
I believe we can. I just want to say, yeah, Ghost is looking fun. I'm having a good time with it, and I hope it stays strong. Good first episode.
Yeah, it's cool. Obviously I'm going to watch regardless, because I said that I'm going to watch every Rider series, no matter how good or how bad, so...
And apparently next week we get the Iguana Striker and Edison Demise.
Yeah.
I still don't get the fucking animal.
The bike merges with a ghost ship to become an iguana thing.
Why?
So that means we can see Captain Ghost, or...
Apparently.
Captain whatever the fuck is that?
Captain Ghost.
Yeah, Captain Ghost.
Captain
awesome.
Ghost.
Captain Ghost is the ghost of Captain Marvel.
It's the pirate ship.
It's beer, ghost pirate ship.
That'd be neat, actually.
So guys, ninjas?
Ninjas. Shuriken Sentai! This is one hot episode, you guys.
Oh, mega hot.
Good thing it's getting cold outside.
It's cold. I mean that Kasumi Fuka scene, oh, that's hot. But you know what was hotter? Ishitaka and Kyuima.
Yoshitaka?
Oh.
Yeah, it's Yoshitaka.
Okay, I watched...
That's a record show that Cell gave the wave hand under chin motion. I don't know what it's called.
Fuck you.
Oh, that's okay.
It's fuck you in Italian.
Now, I watched this episode by myself today again.
Congratulations.
But I squealed when the grandfather was like first showed up, I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, you're gonna fight.
Yeah, that Yoshitaka Kyuemon fight was awesome.
It's better than their first fight.
Especially hearing them just argue about their philosophies.
No, and then as I kept seeing him fight, I'm just like, hi, Yoshitaka stunt double.
Yeah. Like, it was
so awesome.
I love that. No, just because, like, I mean, you know, it had to be done. Just because the actor who plays Yoshitaka, he clearly is an older guy. And, like, maybe one earlier in his youth he did have these type of skills. And maybe he even wanted to try it.
Wait.
I truly feel if he had done these stunts on his own, after they yelled cut, you would just hear him going, my bones!
Yep.
And then Kyuemon tries to kill them, and then they vanish.
Yeah, I just for a second, I just love how hardcore it was of Kyuemon to actually fire her Ranbus on the fucking unmorphed ninjas.
No, there's a scene where Kyuemon was, like, throwing, like, this dude in this fire thing, and then Yoshitaka was countering. I was like, I was getting, like, Order of the Phoenix fucking flashbacks.
Didn't you say that the fire dragon looked like Ghidorah?
Yeah, like, it was like, oh, yeah, like, Raven, help me out on this one here. Didn't it look like a three-headed fire dragon, right? It was like Ghidorah, right?
Yeah,
kinda.
I mean, if it had more than three heads, I would have said Orochi, but...
Yeah, the Grand Dan Kyuemon summoned their spirit animals, which
they had their Scott Pilgrim Battle of the Bands fight.
They summoned their fursonas.
Wait, who's on first? I think we're both on first.
I've always said, if you had a mythical animal that was your spirit in a Battle of the Bands, what would it be?
I don't know.
Gorilla.
And
not a mystical animal, you idiot!
And judging by what I saw, Yoshitaka, I think, actually had a song! Because he, like, had to conjure something, or he conjured something.
No, one thing I want to bring up quickly...
To get them escape.
Is that Kyuemon brought up something that we haven't really been talking about recently.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the finishing shuriken. I don't have it! But then you see, like, him... Like,
yeah.
You see...
He does
pull something... But here's my theory. Is he the finished shuriken?
He is the end shuriken.
Think about it. He looked the same when he sealed them years ago. Could it be that it's just
he absorbed it or something.
That's an interesting idea, actually.
So you mean it's like kind of like Bilbo with the One Ring, where he just like prolonged old age?
Oh my god, I just had a flash of how this series might end if you're right.
What?
Like, let's say he really is much older than he's letting on. Like, that's why he looks the age he does now, however long ago that was. What if, like, he does have the Enshuriken like that, in that sense, and that's what's preserving him?
But think about
it. It's so funny. When it ends with the inevitable conclusion that it has to be destroyed because otherwise it can be used for evil, he dies.
No.
I was going to say he has to put the final seal on Kibaoni in place by using himself.
There you go.
No, I got it. So what happens is he's just prolonging his death or whatever so he can make sure that his grandchildren are able to carry on what he was doing.
That's
and so once that
me.
Happens,
then
he'll be like, alright, I can pass on and carry
on. Oh
my
god, that's possible!
Whoa!
Okay, first off,
Jesus.
That's Sankey from Hibiki. And
hope you're
second,
right,
it would explain why he doesn't fight the yokai anymore. Because he needs to preserve energy to stay a physical form.
It would also explain why he's making amends with his son and his grandchildren now while he can.
Because this
is happening.
Because when he was doing the leg thing, he's like, I have no choice.
All he did was like touch him, like press his own...
In regards to your first point, no one gives a fuck about Hibiki.
I care.
Hey, I do.
Hibiki was cool.
I do,
was
for the record.
Anyways.
I have no thoughts on either way.
So, I liked that they figured out that they could, like, build their own sword.
I knew it!
I knew they were going to get Tenchen to fucking help them.
I was so glad when we saw him.
Yeah, who else are they going to turn to?
Exactly.
Ghostbusters!
No, that was earlier.
Oh.
Also finding out that Kinji ordered Rodeo Maru online. That was awesome.
What the hell?
No, what an American thing to do.
But we already knew he did that.
Yeah.
No, all we knew is that
he ordered it online.
No, when he first talked about it, he said that he made it himself. And that he had read Yoshitaka's book to do
but
it.
But when they first met Tenchen, when they first went to that whole thing for Lion Howe, he said... He ordered it online.
I don't remember that. He
talked to this kid online.
Wait, Ichi, though, the best thing was, what did you say when we saw that?
We were just like, I can't believe that, like, Kinji ordered Rodeo Maru online.
Which I said, Why not? Lane did it.
I did.
It's true. But yeah, he said...
Touché, sir!
They can't
that
use...
was way funnier when we said it while watching
the artisan version.
They can't use Lion How. We have to wait a few more weeks so that we can show the combination for Christmas sales.
I guess that is what it is. I was a little worried, though, when it got to that. Like, oh, wait, is he dead?
No, like is
I love Lion How.
He's not dead, just Brooke.
No, he's doing their album cover, so he has to take a few weeks off.
He's Glade here right now.
We ran out of...
You get a cookie if you got that reference.
Wouldn't that be the fucking... Yeah. Wouldn't that be the reason why?
Wait. Gar, did you actually get that?
Huh? What?
My man!
What?
Yeah, no, I said, like, Lion How, he's just incubating in his, like, death, like hibernation, right? And I'm like, so he's basically Gladier right now. You get a cookie if you got that reference.
I don't know.
Gar did. I'm actually surprised.
I don't know what that is.
But yeah, so is Bison King and Shuri Kenshin just no more?
Well,
I never really, like...
They never really say.
Like, they see it blow up.
They stared at, I think it was a point where, like, Fuka or Nagi was, like, looking at their Otomonin shuriken. They're like, oh, they're too weak to, like, to fight.
Well, yeah, that didn't imply that they were destroyed.
I was gonna say
they were useless.
I was gonna say, in Sentai, we tend to, when the Megazords are destroyed, we fucking see it.
Oh, yeah, without question.
Like
we just saw with Howl.
Yeah, no, but, like, I mean, like, going back to, like, I can figure what it was, but like early Mighty Morphin shit. Remember, like, maybe it was the Ultra Zord or even the original Megazord. We see, like, the arms falling off,
that's
wires exposed.
That's Thunder Megazord.
That was this? So from Die Ranger.
No, that was all original footage from PR.
Was it?
Yeah, that was never in
that
Die
Ranger. That was what was referred to as U2 because it was the footage that Toei created specifically for Mighty Morphin Season 2 and 3.
That was fucking awesome. So they make their own Zords. And I like, Lane, you brought up a point where how you didn't like how Takaharu made his own.
Yeah.
To which I say this. When you're making art, it tends to not come from the mind. It tends to come from the heart. Ha ha ha. But I know that sounds schmaltzy and it belongs... Yeah. I know that sounds schmaltzy and sappy, but I honestly believe that. So and if anything, Takaharu does have a lot of heart, so... You know, I'm just surprised they're all that skilled with a fucking sculpting.
And what's really funny is, like, everyone's complaining, oh, why the fuck does Kasumi have a panda? Guys, Kasumi wanted a panda.
That doesn't make it less stupid.
No,
but here was the funny. Here was the funny thing. And this is where it was weird, because fucking Kasumi, she does... where's the tongue in my mouth?
Just while you collect your thoughts, I just want to point out the fact that since they all designed their Zords, that means that Nagi designed the whole missile shooting chest bit.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, so when she's... Oh, fuck me. When she's, like, looking at... When they're like, well, where are we going to get the new Zords or whatever?
Like the souls.
The souls. She notices that the door I've been mentioning, which has the four legendary beasts, the phoenix, the tiger...
Phoenix, tiger, turtle, and
exactly.
Dragon.
So, yeah, that's where they get the idea for that. Where the hell did the panda and the koi come from, in that regard?
Kenji likes Magikarp.
Kasumi is a standard Japanese female and likes cute things.
Fair enough.
God damn it!
Just saying.
And Kenji just wanted to be different from everyone else.
And Kenji's obsessed with Japan, so the carp.
Makes sense.
Actually. I just like the thing that
I just like
the thing where Nyakumo's designing his.
I'm not discrediting your point.
Tomato, potato.
I like
just
to,
saying.
No, I like to think that when Yakumo was designing his like Dragon Zord or whatever,
he designed it to be the motorcycle.
No, he designed it to be motorcycle. He's like, that's gonna be a dragon and a bike. Boom, boom. Is
like
it?
He rolled it along the ground like a toy. Yeah,
is it?
Like, so, like you were saying with the door thing. When I watched it, I was like, oh, for.
Yeah, I know, so I was like,
good credit for writing.
Yep.
They were there
actually,
the whole time.
They had to
come
from somewhere.
Wayne, with the whole thing with Yakumo and, like, his dragon motorcycle, I almost wonder if that is another subtle nod or reference. No. Actually, to Harry Potter. Because, he's the wizard, right? And there's dragons, obviously, in the Harry Potter universe.
That was the
but
joke
another
dragon
aspect, model. Another aspect, though, of the Harry Potter universe, the one they don't really bring up, there's fucking motorcycle. The flying motorcycle.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, Hagrid's...
Hagrid,
Sirius's flying
motorcycle.
That's right. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, quite...
They are fucking cart!
Okay, I didn't know!
I say this now.
I was just saying because I know that it's described as a koi zord, not a carp zord.
I mentioned this before.
The Japanese fucking name.
Okay.
I mentioned this before. I don't know if they'll ever do this because
ow.
I don't know if we have enough time for
yeah,
this.
Well, holy
this
shit, it's the loudest Raven's ever gotten this show. Hold on.
Really? So.
No.
Damn waveforms.
Go.
Yeah, sorry. I've mentioned this before, and I don't know if we'll ever actually get to this in the show just because, you know, I doubt there's enough episodes for this. The whole thing is, if they're going with... Because the thing they've done is that they've done Chinese mythology now, it seems like. Right? Especially also pandas are Chinese,
yeah.
And the fact that, you know... The
and
koi,
the four sacred spirits.
And so this is what I wonder. In a Chinese tale, again, this is where the whole Magikarp Gyarados thing comes from. If a carp could jump over a waterfall, it would become a dragon. So I wonder if, like...
Oh, that's why the arms are the koi and the dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I almost wonder, will, like, he eventually turn into, like, a dragon zord of his own?
I don't
Who knows? Who knows?
It'd be hilarious if just Magoi Maru just, like, fucking evolved into a giant dragon battle zord.
Can I just say something quick? I don't know about the overtime subs, but with the TV Nihon subs, it was like, how's grandfather? He's resting in peace. He died!
Well, the overtime subs just said he was resting.
Yeah.
That's better, though.
Wow!
No, but then after they leave, you see him clearly get up, and he's standing there. He was, like, listening to them, and I'm like, he's fine!
With the fucking last ninja photo with the goofy fawn in the corner.
Where's the dad?
Samuji's up
shopping.
Doing Samuji things.
Shopping.
Yeah, it's like...
He's getting fried chicken.
ABS.
You know what I'm just picturing? He gets back, and he sees them fighting. He's like, wait, when they get a new Megazord?
That would be beautiful.
Son, you really are a disappointment.
So apparently the Tanuki...
Who I just noticed, by the way, has fucking nipple rings. Like, for real, look at those.
Oh, yeah, he came back. I'm glad he came back.
But here's the thing,
He didn't come back.
He never died, because he apparently switched himself out with a Bunshin, which doesn't make sense, because...
He said something was suspicious, so I bailed.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Apparently the Bunshin he had was carrying his actual gear shuriken, because when you see him in this episode, he doesn't have it anymore.
So that would...
I just thought that was a weird way to cover up a glaring plot hole.
That's what that was in the end. That's a pretty big one.
So. Also, the generals, like the female general, not Kyuemon, the other one.
Kyuemon's not a girl.
Yeah.
Stop saying that.
Shut up.
We see the
Anyways,
boy.
But like,
I love
her. She's not annoying anymore.
No, she's still annoying.
Oh, no. I fucking love just wrinkles! We need more fear water for tears or I'm gonna not... my wrinkles! Wrinkles, wrinkles, wrinkles! You just hear her saying wrinkles in the background.
Reviving my husband.
Yeah, really.
Honestly, she's starting to get stale for me. I hope she does something interesting soon.
I
still love
her. Please, someone else agree with me on this. I thought Kyuemon was gonna get killed off.
That's what they hinted at.
Although, you know what, at that point, I've been like, oh, what the fuck? Because he is the only interesting villain.
True. The other male general.
Oh, Masakage?
Nothing.
Yeah.
He doesn't do jack shit. Whatever the fuck her name is. She's annoying. We lost the only cool one a while ago. The main bad guy hasn't shown up.
Although, we're in the 30s. It's about time for him to pop up.
One funny thing, though. That I was gonna bring up about your rant is that, like, for fuck's sakes, the male general left for like a few episodes and then came back.
Jeez, I forgot about oh my god.
Well, Masakage's the tactician, so he's buying his time.
Oh,
that was always one of the weirdest things.
He has a plan. He's waiting for it to go into motion.
No. That would have been nice.
I hope he has a secret plan that he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
That's a weird thing I've actually found about. Like, this is my own personal taste, at least. You got Ninja, you got Shin Kenger, right? Both heavily based off Japanese, and both have villains who I think are just the shit. Sorry, no, not the shit, just shit.
Hey, Shin Kenger's villains are interesting.
Oh, they weren't.
No, Juzo and Dayo were awesome.
Yeah. No,
the rest, Dokoko and whatever the fuck Squidface's name was, they were boring.
That's what I mean. So, but here was my thing. Some of my favorite designs, though, because I'll be honest, I love the design of the Ninja villains.
For me, nothing has made
I liked how they look warped human.
Yeah.
I got it. They're like statues for a collector. You like to put them on your shelf and stare at them. It's just you can't really play with it.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get figures.
For me, nothing has beaten the designs of the Shadow Line in terms of 80s.
You haven't seen 80s Sentai.
Well, someone's into that.
Alright, moving on. Let's talk about that awesome fucking like teamwork fight between the ninjas and
I'm never fighting Mujina.
Mujina, yeah. That was great.
Wait, the Tanuki?
Yeah.
He's not a Tanuki, he's a
just freaking like Fuka.
We discussed this last episode. He might actually be.
No,
but he won't admit it.
No, possible.
He did say in the episode that he's not
a Tanuki. No, he says he's not, but we were talking last episode how he does things that Tanukis tend to do in folklore.
True.
So, like, maybe even he doesn't know it.
But I have to agree with Lane. That was actually some choreographed
fight. Fuka jumps on his shoulders, like, fucking point-blank ranges the fucking Gamaju right into his fucking head.
That was some end of Wind Waker shit right there.
And then Yakumo, slides in like a rock star at the end of a solo and fucking point-blanks him with the bow.
In the crotch. Clearly in the crotch.
Like, Kenji wasn't a part of the fight. He was fighting,
he was fighting the giant the Gashadokuros.
Which, that made me realize something. I wish that they had actual cockpits. Because when he was fighting them, you could just see, the little tiny, model of Star Ninja.
Which is hilarious when you see Rodimaru, flipping over.
Just bugged me.
I don't know if we've ever discussed this. But I don't like that we can see them on the outside for this one reason. That is some weird scale wonk right there.
No, you want to talk scale wonking? Lion Howe has forever fucked the scale formula for this show.
No, it's just
like all the way fucked.
It just bugs me because I have freaking ADD about symmetrical.
Yeah.
It fucked up, man.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was
to me, it's just too adorable to be mad at.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not gonna say that joke.
That's why I'm glad the artist and Rodimaru comes with a little mini Star Ninja you can put on his shoulder.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, I guess we should talk about the actual Megazord.
Yes, we should, because I've said this, the design is a little too, odd for me. And again, this seems to be the theme of this season, so fair enough. Stick that landing.
It doesn't.
I love the transformation, though.
The sequence is neat
because that was pretty badass. Just the music kept building and building and building.
Geki Atsu,
watch
out! Yeah, the music. Nothing can beat Bragigas. Brigato, brigato, brigato.
No. It was Giganto.
The best thing was what you said, though, Ichi, where they finally do the entire transformation, and the Falcon
as,
red.
As Ho'omaru, clocks in and, attaches to the shuriken, I'm like, oh, good, the red Zord's fucking useless.
Which Lane said...
It's the head.
To which Ichi said...
It's the hair, at best.
No, guys, if you really think about it, Shurikenjin, who's in charge? Takaharu. The combination between that and Bison King, Takaharu. Lion Howe, Takaharu. It means everyone's together. It's not just Takaharu.
Which I give a credit. That was actually, I liked how at least that this is the only time we've actually seen them on level ground.
Yeah, and
but the cockpit itself to me was just weird because
I didn't like it.
It's them spinning around.
No, it's them.
It gets into it felt like Digimon Tamers, fusion shit right
now. It was the background from when they do their special attacks, which means that they exist in an ethereal state inside the Megazord.
Which, I guess.
Because they are fused with these machines.
Although, the grand finale, though.
Oh, Christ.
No, one thing I'd like to point out, I loved that, when you saw, when you saw Takaharu as Ho'omaru and he's flying around and stuff, he just I liked Yoshitaka just acknowledging, huh, so they use themselves instead of getting actual souls. Huh, impressive.
That
was cool.
The point of this episode was we are not grandfather, we do things our own way.
Exactly.
We jump headfirst into fucking everything, including new Zords.
Actually, two things that the new Megazord reminds me of. One is in Magi Ranger, where the Rangers become Zords.
Yep.
And the way that they fight is like in Jungeki Ranger, where you actually see them throw punches and kicks.
Lots of kicks.
But lots of CGI.
You know how you were saying the Gekiatsu Dai is a bit too flashy?
That's the point.
That's the point. They're the shinobi that don't hide.
You know what really kills it for me, and I've said this before? It's the stars.
They're just too out, like, just...
What do you mean by the stars?
Like, you know, like their symbols? Like,
oh, yeah, on the swords?
On the arms and legs.
I like that.
Wait.
You know what that reminded me of? The motherfucking Super Z Omegazord.
Oh, Christ. You know, actually, one quick thing. Did they just forget about Panamaru, UFOmaru, and Supermaru?
I guess.
Paonmaru, I mean. But yes.
Like, really think about it. They had three extra
they
Marus
can't combine.
To
I guess they
but still,
still
like they could have used them in the final fight.
It went the way of the Cheetah Zord from Geki Ranger.
Here's the thing:
no one cares.
If fucking the Ultra Zord couldn't do it, what chance did they have?
At least you know.
They're
it's okay. Ufamaru's got space. Surfamaru's got the ocean.
Why?
Paonmaru's got
in the jungle.
Got jungles.
Welcome to animal fan.
You could say it's full of jungle fury. Jungle Fury.
And they did the missile launching thing, which was awesome.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to say the joke. We're going to give the robot some head.
No. That doesn't apply there.
Okay, right? But what?
Six heads.
What I loved, though, was how, like, okay, so, Ichi, this is the problem with your whole thing about how they're in an ethereal place. Because we see, they're like, okay, what do we do now? The fucking opening happens. Apparently they've been in the chest the whole time. Now, I'm okay with that. Let me finish.
Okay.
I'm okay with them being in the chest, but apparently
they're
adjacent.
They're perpendicular. Like, they're standing horizontally, is what you're saying.
What the fuck?
Here's the thing. My theory is, before that happens, they are in an ethereal state inside the Megazord. Then, when that glowing happens, it, like, reconstitutes them in the barrels of the chest.
And basically... And this has to be the title of the episode. I'm sorry. It just became Fire the Ninjas!
Absolutely! I'm writing that down.
Wait, what? But yeah, they destroyed the big giant robot thing, but QAmon survives, apparently.
Of course.
For fuck's sake.
So we didn't get frickin' Takahara going, I'm fucking fired out!
No, that's because there's a new catchphrase. Gekiyatsu!
I'm sorry, go up, please, Ichi. You know, looking at that in writing might not be the best title.
That's because it's in small font.
Okay. Yeah, you spelled ninjas wrong.
No, I didn't.
Did.
I said fire the ninjas.
Oh, ninja. Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus. Let's not get into this.
I didn't
really
misspell
odd
it.
Question, though. Why was Kenji sitting on his ass when they all were on the ground?
Because he was too busy.
It's never explained. They're
he was being cool.
They're all up in the air, and there's just Kenji on his ass.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kenji's ass, he
or
bumps
sorry,
it
not in Kenji, Nagi.
Whatever.
Nagi was on his ass.
Kenji bumps his ass into Yakumo's
yeah,
hand, and they
like
all
the...
do the Power Rangers!
But yeah, my quick overall opinion on Gekiyatsu Daio, still fucking love it. I think it's, like, really awesome Megazord. Probably, honestly, other than Bison King, my favorite out of, like, the ninja.
Yeah.
And I think I'm definitely gonna pick it up. And also, those fucking awesome kicks he kept doing! Just like...
You mean those really bad CGI kicks?
Fuck you, they're awesome! And they were supposed to simulate that he was quickly kicking them.
I like CGI Zords. It's just... Literally, that Megazord is compiled of all CGI, except for the actual suit.
You mean, like, every Wild Force Megazord ever?
He's got you there.
Yeah.
Your words, sir.
I don't really like Gekiyatsu Daio. I never have, and I don't see any of that changing.
I can't wait to see the combination.
My favorite ninja zords are still Paonmaru and Surfamaru.
If you already hate Gekiyatsu Daio, I watched the review of the toy, and with the shuriken, you know how, like, the Automaten shuriken for shurikenshin, like, goes like, one maru, bella maru, demaru.
Oh, it does
so
that.
Every time it does the zort, it goes, it just does that after every single time, so that'll get annoying.
Especially after you buy it.
Well, no, because I'll keep it in Megazord form, but, yeah, no, I think I'm definitely going to buy Gekiyatsu Daio, because this thing's fucking cool.
I just love how when it transformed, the announcer was like, Gekiyatsu Daio!
Yeah, and then they copied fucking Kyoryushin Kung Fu's background.
I don't think that was the
exact No, nothing's ever, but it reminded me of it, because I was expecting, like,
it's a Chinese martial arts
I was expecting,
thing.
Like, 100 other Gekiyatsu Daios behind it, just doing, like, choreographed, really synced martial art moves.
That would have been hilarious.
So, guys, feature topic?
Sure.
Feature topic.
Feature topic.
So, for our feature topic today, we thought since it was the debut of Ghost, it might be a good time to talk about our favorite first episodes of any show we've watched. So, favorite show based on the first episode. We're just going to go in whatever order. Who wants to go first?
I will. So honestly, my favorite like first episode of a show that like it really stands out in my mind is honestly the first episode of O's. Oh,
I thought you were gonna say Decade.
No, Decade was cool, but no, definitely O's for me. Just because we get like an awesome introduction to freaking Edgy, which was just super full of awkward when like the wall crumbles down and he's in his underwear and the police are all fucking showing up and everything. Like that was really funny.
Yep.
The introduction to like the greed was fucking awesome. Just like that happy birthday moment was like literally will stand out in my mind as one of the greatest scenes in a tokusatsu.
For sure.
Period.
Fun fact, I showed my high school friends that. They've never seen tokusatsu. They laughed their ass off with that scene.
You want to hear something funny? One of Lane's best friends put his name in that video for his actual birthday greeting.
And he voiced over him going like, little Greedo. He was like, Lytra.
Yeah, of course.
Really cute. Well, taken down, sadly.
I plan on doing that as well.
But yeah, and just like, you know, the introduction of him transforming into O's was really cool. He like kicked ass. And like the introduction to Hina and like with her mysterious strength that we still to this day don't know why.
It was
why
in
is that
the
thing?
Novel.
Is it?
Was it?
Yes.
Why is
we
she
need
strong?
To find it.
Why is she strong?
I never read it.
Oh, fuck you.
Fans, go forth! Find the novel!
Zero fucking
context. But anyways, I thought, that's my favorite first episode.
O's context.
The first episode of Kamen Rider O's, I thought it was fantastic, and it really just, it's always stood out in my mind, like, all these years. Because it's been 5 years since O's.
Yeah.
5 years.
Yeah.
Like that, goddamn. But yeah, so O's for me. Definitely. Who's next?
Me. Alright. So we couldn't do two parters because I was thinking like, alright, I can do this or this. Oh, it has to be the very first episode. Alright, Kuga. For writers. Basically because it's the start of the Heisei era and just Godai's reaction for like, after he puts on the belt, he punches the Grongi and you just see his like hand transform. He's like, what? But then like the best scene though was like the ending where it's like the sunset and you see Kuga on like the building top, which was awesome. Now for Sentai, it had to be GoBusters episode 1. That was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Just because when Blue Buster and Yellow Buster destroyed I can't remember the GoBusters villains.
Vagras.
Yeah, Vagras.
Vagras. Messiah.
Like you see them destroy the little one and you see
the Metaroid.
Yeah, destroy like the big giant one at the same time, in which it looked badass and awesome. Cool. Least favorite quickly, the ninja. They crammed too much into the first episode.
Well yeah, episode 1 is Sell the Toys episode.
Oh, that's something I'm gonna think about too quickly actually. I'll think about it.
Raven, you're next.
I'm just gonna go with obvious. Like, for Kuga, what you were saying before, as much as I like Kuga, I didn't think the first episode sold the series anywhere near as well as it needed to.
It was more in the second episode.
Like, I love Kuga as a series, but the first couple episodes were shit. let's not beat around the bush on that one.
Let's
be adults about this one.
It was a cheap production.
It was. But, no, favorite first episode? Kabuto.
That's not
like,
bad.
That first episode was a wonderful introduction to that series.
Yeah,
I thought you were gonna say
fucking Zek Troopers.
Even though we didn't get Rider form, yeah.
Well, we got Kabuto.
Yeah.
Actually,
but that was...
Yeah.
Fuck it, that was... That
this
was
is cool. Me, fuck everyone.
This is... Oh, hi there. You look awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, my second favorite would have to be Hibiki. Just because
oh,
how they
God.
Start...
That's my special mention, you're right.
Yeah.
No. That person...
That
is the only part of Hibiki I have seen.
Not because.
But what the fuck, even?
Not because of the beginning. Like, really think back. Blade came first. Like, Blade came before that. What happened at the end of Blade? The fucking apocalypse. And then we cut the musical number.
Yes.
No, all right,
that's
works
it.
With me.
It's like, no, that musical number is the most memorable part.
Didn't it? Didn't it?
Out of nowhere, suddenly musical number.
I keep forgetting I wanted to make that the alarm when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
Good morning.
Fuck off. I'm glad they did not carry on with that.
I wish they did. That was
no.
Freaking... No. That's the series. Bye.
No.
I think... I wanted to go last, but I think I should cut
but,
in now because...
I'm just going to say this to finish off mine.
least favorite ever first episode, decade. Because it made me think the series was going to be good.
Oh!
Way to set some unrealistic expectations there, Toei.
Damn!
Yeah. Now that I really think about it, like, first episode, this is all the powers, then, like, oh, I can't.
I'm surprised your least favorite episode wasn't the first episode of Forza.
No, I hated
Forza. That's the obvious choice.
I hated Forza, like, right from the get-go. There's no surprise.
We hate all the Forza.
We hate all the Forza, and if we say any specific episode is worse, that leads credence that some are better.
Forza started with a guy getting killed on the fucking moon.
Yeah, but that's
shit gets
more
better than
Drive started off with half of Japan dying.
Actually, there's only one good episode about Forza.
The ending?
No, the prom.
Okay, fair.
No, I still didn't like that.
I'm a teenager.
Okay, let's not do the Forza discussion, please.
No. Always a Forza discussion in the episodes. That episode, I hated. That episode was part of what I hated about Forza.
We'll talk more about that after.
The high school and the fucking American cliche-ass fucking high school that show was.
Okay, we'll talk more about that. At the end
part of what I hated about it, the prom, no.
So,
I go last.
All right.
I was going to go last, but now that you guys have mentioned it, I have to say that my choice was first episode of Kamen Rider Hibiki.
Yeah, we've already said it.
Because, think about it. Every other rider show starts off pretty standard, and I don't really consider any other show too memorable. But when a show starts off with a goddamn musical number, I'm interested.
What? No.
The sad thing is, this is my choice pure only for this specific topic for first episode. The rest of the show doesn't follow that format, and I was kind of disappointed. I really wanted to see more of that.
Oh, I got my least favorite episode.
That's like that whole thing. Just starting off with the musical number. Yeah, no, that can be a good thing, or it can be a horrible thing and lead you to expect some terrible things.
But no, I love that song.
Yeah, no, I know Hibiki was a good. It was a good example. I really liked that.
I'm pretty sure they only did that one more time the whole show, if at all.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that can lead to some bad expectations too. Like a certain anime I just watched last night.
Oh,
first episode of a show called Dance with Devils.
Okay.
First off, starts with a musical number. I'm not thinking much of it. Then it keeps happening over the episode. I'm just like, is this show musical? And, oh God, why is the second musical number a fucking Disney princess-esque number?
Wants more!
I don't know why we keep talking about Hibiki, but basically, one scene in that, besides the musical number, when Asumu met Hibiki, it's just like, the fuck was that? I'm well trained.
Itaite.
Yeah, and he just leaves.
Yep. Yeah.
That's like,
No more
explanations!
They're supposed to be secret!
Okay, well, I have my least favorite first episode. It was probably actually the first episode of Wizard, just because it was like the same thing with Raven said about Decade. The first episode of Wizard showed that Haruto was like this awesome badass, but god damn was Haruto bland.
No, okay.
He was bland!
The first episode of Wizard was good because of one thing. It led to more mystery. It wasn't like, I just got the belt today. It was like, how long have you been a rider?
You could say Haruto was plain sugar.
God damn it! His favorite donut literally describes Haruto in a nutshell! He's fucking plain as fuck!
Just like the
writers. But no, yeah, it'd probably be Wizard, because Wizard was shit, and the first episode made him look like Haruto was a complete badass.
You see this, Link? You see this? This is double flipping you off.
That's nice. Wizard, pretty to look at. No story.
That's another story.
If we're going least favorite, I'm probably going to go least favorite first episode of Tokyuger.
I can see that.
For reasons I'm sure I don't need to go into.
I can understand.
No, you don't need to go into that at all.
I love the first
episode. Then again, remember, I marathoned the first three episodes, so my introduction to the show... I know, right?
Trainer Boner.
My first introduction included Train Boner.
Yup.
Oh, God.
That was my introduction
to the
show.
Hey, that's a good episode.
And I'm going to just say everyone's probably favorite Sentai first episode, Gokaiger.
No, I already said Gobusters.
Oh, okay. Well, mine's going.
My second favorite would be O-Ranger.
Sentai to fucking
I just said they first favorite episode. I didn't say to pick both shows.
They
but
fought
whatever.
The bad guys because. Over because they destroyed their curry.
Yep.
No, that was somewhat bland.
No,
that was hilarious.
That was an amazing reason.
Besides, from the
fuck
war
justice,
part,
you ruined our lunch.
Thanks for saving us. Oh, we didn't save you because we wanted to. We destroyed our curry.
Yeah. So your turn.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it's finally
your turn. Well, being the Philistine that I am.
And you are.
I of course, have to go with... All my selections are Power Ranger based.
Yeah, that's
fine.
I didn't even think of that.
It's Toku.
Okay. So, if I had to say the worst one for me, just because it's the only one I can actually remember making me kind of mad, the Samurai.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, this
wait,
is...
Wait, episode 3 or the actual, like, first episode,
the actual
Origins.
First episode, Origins, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just like, okay, so this is what we've been waiting for, huh? Okay, that's great. It just, overall, it's just a very bland episode. There's one good moment in that entire opening, which was, I liked when Mentor G, like, spoke up about Jaden, like, the whole, this is Jaden Shiva, the 19th. That was the only good part.
Have you seen Shikunger?
Not all of it.
It's basically that.
Here's the thing.
I know what that is.
Yeah, we've talked enough about Samurai, but the thing is, Samurai is bad because it's so similar to Shinkendra.
Exactly.
That's the problem. But we've talked about that.
Anyway, if I had to give an honorable mention of the best, I would say From Out of Nowhere, that would be the first
episode
in space.
If I had to pick one to rewatch, it would without question be that episode.
Mm. Just for me as a kid, you gotta think, oh my god, like, what's happening now after Turbo? Like, Jesus, they're going to space, and then we actually see. And my balls blew off when I saw that. But if I had to actually, so, on nostalgia, I'll give that my number one.
Yeah.
But if I had to actually, like, what I think is the best first episode of anything, and especially in Power Rangers... Road to Corinth from RPM.
Yeah.
Just the world that sets up. Like, it's fucking, like, Mad Max and Power Rangers. Why wasn't this a thing before?
Mad Max with Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, there's a bit of Terminator in there as well. Just, like, the odd, all the stakes are immediately set up. Like, everything seems so dire. The world they build. The fact that the Black Rangers are main character, really, for the first bit.
Think about this. Mad Max happened in Australia. New Zealand's right beside Australia. I really thought you were going to say Time Force.
Time Force had a great opening.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say Time Force is up there, too.
That was an example of something being good because it's so similar to its source material.
Exactly. And it, as Time Force has proved, it can work.
Yeah.
So, like I said, though, I give Road from Out of Nowhere credit for nostalgia, but I give Road to Corinth credit for... being actually good, really good, and just I also has one of my favorite just cut to black I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's the Power Rangers. What are Power Rangers? Power Rangers RPM.
Just end the episode right there.
That was that's exactly what they did.
No, that's actually amazing.
So I would say best episode of this sort of stuff I've seen, RPM episode one, Road to Corinth.
Actually,
just
cool.
It was so cool.
Yeah,
it's Mad Max Power Rangers.
I like how he met with Ziggy. It's like, you gotta help me, man. Gotta help, like a freaking stranger. He's like, what's your name? Dylan.
My favorite aspect
of Dylan.
Yeah, he didn't remember his name. My favorite aspect of that whole thing is when Dylan does his badass moments, he puts in a lollipop because it's a kid's show.
He has a cigarette.
He can't smoke.
Weird.
But he somehow still made it badass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because look at the fucking car he's driving. It's not like something made for kids. No, it's something that you would see on a freaking muscle car.
It's just like, is that a lollipop? Yeah, fuck you.
Exactly.
So,
I like to say, with all our first episodes, they all have something. They all mean something.
They're all memorable.
Yeah. Memorable is the best word.
Yep.
So, Ichi, before we end this, you said you wanted to do haikus.
Yeah. So, after watching Jack's films do haikus about movies, I thought it would be a fun idea for a cast ranger for us to summarize the episodes that we discuss with a bit of Japanese poetry.
I don't know.
Who actually made them?
I did.
Anyone else?
Nope.
I can make an attempt on the spot right now.
Freestyling haiku, yo!
I'm bad at poetry.
For Ghost, as the old body dies, a new one awakens.
I'm not.
That wasn't a haiku, sorry.
Okay, I got one quickly.
As the body dies,
It's snowing on Mount Fuji. Fuck it's snowing you. On Mount Fuji. It's snowing on Mount Fuji.
Grumps joke.
You had it.
Sorry.
Go.
Oh, you want to do mine? Okay.
Because you did one for each one.
Right? I did one for both episodes.
Okay, I did one for everything, so I'll go last
again. Okay. So here is my ghost haiku.
You wrote it down.
Dead 8 minutes in. Rider powered by history. Why is she his friend?
He's into science, and that's where Edison's going to come from.
Sure. And for
new going to go to that museum she was telling him about the first episode, and he's going to steal something.
Yeah, there. Probably.
The light bulb.
And for new ninja, brand new Megazord, shooting rangers like missiles. Star chose Magikarp.
Magikarp use Splash.
Magikarp.
That's also good. Okay, Sal, yours.
Yeah. Just a reminder, it is 575, right?
Yeah.
Okay. New Zords created, 99 days till judgment, the best of the first.
That's actually...
Nice.
You get a fist bump for that.
That's a nice summary of our Cast Ranger episode in total.
Well, I guess that ends it. Oh, yeah, we never mentioned this, but Greencaster was on here.
I'm sure they noticed from the
roll call. Yeah,
well, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot at these days to not hear him.
Wow. Yeah, no, he wasn't actually asleep on the couch or anything. He
was actually sick.
He's literally.
Actually sick! Greencaster!
May he feel better.
Greencaster?
Oh,
he's green with Luke. Casting. Luke. He's green. No, guys. He's casting the green now.
I'm really tempted in the Cast Ranger game that I'm working on to give him a power that involves him falling asleep.
I was gonna say, like, make it like a Snorlax or Slaking style
where
like, move.
Yeah.
He has rest.
Yeah. No, you can totally do that. I saw someone who has a review copy of it use an ability.
Motherfucker, you know you're putting that in for him.
Absolutely.
One of his abilities is to use rest.
Also, Dave.
Well, guys, that was episode 75 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter,
Podbean.com,
and
every other platform you can
subscribe
think of.
To us on iTunes.
So as we continue on with ninjas, it's a brand new world with Ghost.
And so we get animals. Fucking bears.
Oyasumi.
And end.